the man that says what the people need to hear.
Somebody need to hear this.
That's right.
He's going to be bringing you the word each and every week. You better not only be ready, but stay ready.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
The time is up. It's the moment you've been waiting for. He's here. It's the Raw and Uncut Podcast with Pastor Radden. Service starts now.
To turn it off, I do anything. I don't know if this is any better or not. Let me know if it is not, if it's the same or what have you. Amen. 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 I got all my, I'm trying to get all of this stuff straight. Coming out of the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter. Let me know if you all can tune in to hear me. Amen. Let me know if you can tune in to hear me good. Jesus is saying about the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy crept in. His enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Amen. God, as with always, God also explains everything also in his parables. But he says that a man sowed seed into the ground, and he was sowing good seed in the ground. And while the men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. God bless you, Bishop Kills. Thank you for tuning in all the way from Washington, D.C. God bless you, mighty woman of God. Amen. While men slept, a tare. Some of you might not know what a tare is. When they said the enemy sowed tares in with the wheat, tares are something like a weed, and it blends in with the good seed, what's being planted, and you can't really tell the difference. And when the weed came up, as the tares sprung up, the weed came up with it. Amen. Thank you, baby, for tuning in as I changed. And she said, hey, baby, y'all see you on there. Amen. The weed came up and the tares came in with it. That's why it says, but when the grain had sprouted and produced its crop, the tares also appeared. Once again, the enemy came in and put weeds in with the tares. Now, there's a reason to all of this, what Jesus is saying about who the Son of Man is, who the harvest is, and all of that type of stuff. and then he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to tear or to gather them up? And this is basically talking about the end time in the world. And it's going to be a separation between, obviously, the righteous of God and the other seed. Amen. And like I always do say, as I said before, because this is Jesus explaining about what's going to happen. Amen. And there's some things in here that we just got to be truthful about. I've said it once and I've said it 1,000 times. Amen. About those that have given their life to Christ are the children of God. Now, this is what Jesus said, because he's talking about the separation between the good seed and the bad seed. Basically, I'm trying to break it down as plain as I can. And Jesus said, he who sows the seed is the Son of Man. Remember when I said a man sows some seed in the good ground? It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is planting seed, and the field is the world, because he said he planted it in the field. The field is the world. Now, this is Jesus explaining his parable. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom of God. Those of us that accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And who is the wicked one? Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. That's the seed of the wicked one. Now it says that those are the sons of the wicked one. Sons, in order to be a son, you must have a father. So therefore, I know we've heard, hey, Minister Coleman, God bless you, mighty woman of God. Adrian DeBerry, what up, boy? What's going on? Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, we go way back, me and Adrian. You've heard your aunties, your grandmothers, your uncles, great-grandmothers, all of that type of stuff say that we all are God's children. And I'm here to stick a pin in that bubble right now and bust it. No, we are not all God's children. as I know that sounds right. Yes, God made everybody. We're maybe all his creation. He created every one of us, but everybody does not belong. Everybody's not going to heaven. If you're not going to heaven, obviously somebody else is your father. And I'm going to prove it again, what Jesus just said. Jesus just said it in here that the sons, that the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. The devil got children too. That's just all it is to it. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it is what it is. And ain't no sugarcoating here. Either you are a child of the God or you are a child of God, the God, Jesus Christ, or either you are not. Point blank, there is no in between. And that's just all it is to it. Sons of the wicked one. And I'm going to prove it to you again in the book of John, what Jesus said when he was basically arguing or having words with the Jews that were saying that they were the seed of Abraham. They say, we belong to Abraham. We are descendants of Abraham and all of that type of stuff. Okay, and maybe so. But Jesus was saying that if you were true descendants of Abraham, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. If you were descendants of Abraham, he loved me. They saying you don't. They tried to kill him. Jesus in about the whole eighth chapter. That's the same chapter where the woman was about to be stoned to death. That same chapter when he said, who without sin cast the first stone. This goes a little further down into that chapter. What I'm talking about is that same chapter, the eighth chapter of John. They're trying to tell him that Jesus is basically trying to say that I am the Son of God. I am from the one who I speak the truth, but you don't want to hear the truth. You're trying to kill me and so on and so forth. And right now, and look what Jesus is saying to them. I mean, they came going back. We be Abraham's seed and all of this type of stuff. Well, I had my thing in the wrong spot, but it's John 8 chapter. And look here, but now, man, Jesus, verse 40, what I want to talk about is verse 44. In verse 40, but he says, but now you seek to kill me. This is Jesus talking now, talking to those people, to those men who are screaming, we are the sons of Abraham or we are the seed of Abraham. But you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. He said, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father. And they say, God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? This is Jesus talking to them. Because you are not able to listen to my word. And the very first sentence in verse 44, John 8 and 44, you are of your father, the devil. I didn't say that. This is written in red. Jesus said that. Jesus is saying this. And your desires of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Talking about the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Bless your holy name. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, Brother Jamel English. God bless you, man. He said that. He said, you are of your father, the devil. But see, we've been hearing our whole lives that we are all God's children. And that's not true. Until you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a son or a daughter of God. Until then and only then. I don't care how good you are. You can feed every homeless person in your city. You can give everybody money. You can do all of that. That's not going to get you into heaven. Only doing the will of the Father, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, living holy, practicing what you preach. Hallelujah, God. That's what I'm going to talk about Ephesians when it's talking about, see, when you're a new creature in Christ, when you give your life to Christ, there are certain things that we're supposed to do as a people. We can't be doing all that old stuff and trying to make it into heaven. You can't be out here cussing folks out. You can't be out here stealing and cheating and lying and talking about you going to make it into heaven, talking about you some child of God. No. Don't let the devil fool you. Like I always said, I just did a eulogy last week, and I just said in there, don't let the devil fool you by talking about God knows my heart. God knows your heart, all right? He the one who put it in your body. He knows everything about it. Before you knew your own name, your heart was in there beating, and God put it in there. So you're right. God does know your heart. because he's the one that made it and formed it. But you can't be using that for an excuse to justify your evil, sinful ways. Tell my God knows my heart. You need to repent and stop that foolishness, what you're doing. Playtime is over. It's been over. Y'all see what's going on out here in the world today. People are dying left and right. Now, either you're going to make it into heaven or you're going to lift up your eyes in hell. Which one is it going to be? Make the choice today. Like Joshua told his people, like what I said at the eulogy last Thursday. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me and my house. Ain't no Muslims living up in here. Ain't no Jehovah's Witnesses living up in here. Hallelujah, God. Ain't no unbelievers living up in here. We recognize and know who God is up in this house. Hallelujah, God. Praise be to God. And that's the way it's going to be. Bottom line, as long as I'm the head of this household, if something happens to my wife today, if and when I do decide to marry again ever, you can please believe she will be a woman of God. No matter how fine she is, no matter how smart she is, no matter how much we got in common, if Jesus Christ is not her Lord and Savior, I can't marry her. Point blank, bottom line, period. Don't care who she is. Movie star, millionaire, billionaire, don't matter. What does it gain for a man to gain? What does a man gain for the whole world and to lose his soul? What use is a woman gaining the whole world? You can have all the possessions, you can have everything. But on judgment day, because you sure can't take none of that stuff with you, then what? God bless you, mighty woman of God. Praying for Pastor Waylon. Praying that all is well. I saw that he was coming home today. God bless you. There's a mighty woman of God here. Her husband is a pastor and he had some surgery done and whatnot. But God came through because God is a healer and God touched him and healed him. He's on his way home and we're praying for a speedy recovery for Pastor Waylon Gibson. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. How can you not serve a God like that? Yes, there's some things you got to give up. Yes, there's some things you got to leave in it behind you. You got to put it in the past. That's just all it is to it. How can I be a child of the Most High God and I'm still worrying about all the stuff that I used to do? I done told you before, I don't miss going to the clubs. I don't miss having hangovers. I don't miss chasing all kinds of women out there. The thrill of the chase, as they said. I've chased and I've caught what I wanted 24 years ago, soon to be 25 years in August. I've chased and I've caught. A man that findeth a wife, findeth what? Y'all know what it say. Y'all know what it say. Thank you, Pastor. What profit is a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Hallelujah, God. What profit is it? What does it do? What good is it saying? To have everything you can want in life. But in the end, for Jesus to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you son of iniquity. But yet, you've got billions, you've got everything, you done bought islands, you done did all of that. What most men would dream of having. Oh, you lived a good life while you was here on this earth. You partied hard, you did everything you could possibly do. But on judgment day, and judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. And you're going to have to stand before God, and you're going to have to stand alone. Nobody's going to stand with you, not your parents, not your wife or husband, not your brother or sister. You want to stand and be judged. Hallelujah, God. But the word says the righteous will be judged first. So me and all the other righteous people got to get our stuff together. Because it says we will scarcely make it in. Hallelujah, God. Don't mean I just got me just a straight shot automatically in there. I got to be right up until the end. Hallelujah, God. There's no room for error. Even though God is a forgiving God. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. But I mean error, I mean big errors. Constant errors. Continuous errors. That's what the errors I'm talking about. Ain't no room for that. You done gave your life to Christ, you live it. Because we about to get into some stuff here in the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah, God. About what to put on and put off. See? And it's a whole lot of stuff in here, but see, I'm just going with this. It says in verse 22 in the fourth chapter of Ephesians that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you got to live holy. Hallelujah, God. Hey, Sister Mary, Sister Colleen. How you doing, Sister Goodwin? God bless you. Thank you all for tuning in. Well, I got all these ladies tuning in today. Where my brothers at? Brothers. Got these ladies out doing this again. I guess the ladies love the word more on this Wednesday than then. Oh, boy, I tell you. Boy, fellas, you're letting me down. All right. Ladies is out front once again. And just like Jesus, hey, who came to the tomb to see him first? It was a woman. Woman just outdoing us again. Well, if it wasn't for women, boy, where would the church be, huh? Got all these men talking about women can't preach. Y'all need to sit down and stop all that foolishness. Therefore, it says, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Where you go calling yourself trying to be a child of God? Thank you. And I enjoyed you tuning in. Thank you, Sister Goodwin. How do you call yourself a child of God and you're up here saying the untruth? Huh? It says, therefore, put away lying. Isn't that one of the things that God hates? Thank you, Holy Ghost. When you go back to the book of Proverbs in the sixth chapter, it says six things, yes, seven things are abominations, things that God hates. And lying is one of them. As a matter of fact, there's lying about a couple of times in there, to be honest with you. Lying can cause a whole lot of stuff to go wrong. Lying. People are in jail today because somebody lied on them, sadly, and they have been not able to prove their innocence as of yet. As we speak, somebody behind bars right now, probably shaking their head, about to give up because somebody lied on them. And for whatever reason, the judge and the jury believe that lie because they can't prove otherwise. Until God decides to move and get them out of there. Man, if somebody was in jail tuning in right now, if that was the case, the only thing I would say is continue to pray. Man or woman of God, continue to pray. Know that God is a deliverer and he will get you out and you shall be restored. My God, I can't imagine being locked up because somebody lied on me. How many people have been fired from a job because of the lies that somebody told? My bishop gives a testimony all the time about when he was in the military and somebody lied on him and he had to face some type of a, I would say court martial. I don't know if that was good, but he had to stand before a judge and all of that type of stuff. And witnesses came up there one after another lying. But nevertheless, God moved. And he didn't have to suffer any punishment, at least from the story that he told, from the testimony that he gave. He didn't have to suffer because God moved. In spite of the lies. Amen. And that's a lot of times God will do. People are dead today, 6 feet deep, because somebody lied. Somebody lied. That's why God, you wonder why God hates lying. What are the two things that people say they can't stand the most in life? A thief and, you already know, a liar. People don't like liars. And sadly, we know a lot of them. We know a lot. We know people that we grew up with and some people we know quite well. And they might even be who we consider a friend. But we know they have a tendency to tell the untruth from time to time, quite often. And we still deal with them because we know them and we love them and we came up with them and whatnot like that. I mean, we know some people that's like that. We might even have some family that's like that and whatnot. Just always lying and whatnot. But God does not like lying. He hates it. If you know that you are telling the untruth very often, stop it. For you get yourself and somebody else who definitely don't need it in a world of hurt. Stop all that foolishness. Lying can break marriages up. Brian, lying can break up good relationships. So stop it. All right. It says, put away that garbage. In verse 26 of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, it says, be angry, but do not sin. Ha. I say it every other week when I'm on here. Look, we can be it's not giving you a command to be angry. It's saying, in other words, you can be angry, but just don't sin when you get there. Amen. Because we are emotional human beings. We're going to get angry. We're going to be upset. But see, some people, they're good until they get angry. Then they start cussing. They're good until they get angry. You know, anger, you can go to jail because of being angry. How many people in jail right now? Maybe for years. Because you did something out of anger. You pulled out a gun when you was angry. You pulled out some type of weapon and used it, assault and battery, because you was angry. You raised your hand in anger when you shouldn't have at somebody. I get it. You know, just because somebody might call my wife out of a name, I'll just use me. Let's just say, for instance, somebody calls my wife a female dog out of anger, a B word. Now, I go knock the fire out of them and knock them out. When they come to, or what if a police officer sees the whole thing? Who you think going to jail? The person on the ground that called my wife out of a name, or me? Because that's assault. Oh, I spoke to the police officer. Well, you got what you deserve. You called this man, this man's wife a B. So it is what it is. No, it ain't no it is what it is. I'm going to jail. That's just all it is to it. Now we got to go to jail. Now there's a fine and all of that type of stuff. I see the thing says slow connection. I hope it don't cut off. Now the thing, now I got to go to jail. Now I got to pay a fine and all of this type of stuff. All because of anger, and it could have been avoided. I know it's easier said than done until you get put in that situation. And I pray if I'm ever in a situation like that, first of all, I pray that don't ever come. I really do. I pray to God Almighty that situation will come. And I pray if it does happen that I will act accordingly. Amen. Now, somebody that's different, hands-on, touching, that's something totally different. But other than that, if your life is not threatened in some type of way, if nobody don't physically harm you or whatnot, you just go hauling off and knock the fire out of somebody. That's an offense. We got to keep our anger in check. Road rage, we got to keep our anger in check. Because, you know, according to everybody on here, can't nobody drive. You know how it is. These people don't know how to drive. All that type of stuff. Don't nobody know how to drive. Yet all these people running around here with licenses. You knew don't know that includes you, right? When people say, people in South Carolina can't drive. Well, you people. You are people. People talking about you too. You just can't be talking about everybody else. But that's just how it is. It's just a figure of speech. Can't nobody drive. But road rage. People have been snatched out of cars. Out through the driver's seat. Into the street. And fighting. They done made movies about it. Lifetime movies. There's a movie called Unhinged with Russell Crowe. That is a crazy good movie though. Unhinged with Russell Crowe. All of that is road rage. All because you done cut somebody off or didn't let somebody in. You're driving too slow. You didn't turn fast enough. And people leaning on the horn. It ticks you off. Then they throw up their middle finger. You throw up your middle finger. Now, what kind of garbage is that? You up here throwing up your middle finger at somebody. Christian, child of the Most High God, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all got to watch that stuff now. Y'all got to watch that. Y'all got to watch that. God called you for a reason. How many times you've heard me say that? And I will continue to say that. It's a reason why God chose you to represent him. It's a reason why God chose you to represent the kingdom. You are an ambassador. Hey, classmate, Sister Miller. God bless you. Yeah, that's my phone going off. I ain't had time to cut off these notifications. God chose you for a reason. He chose you to act accordingly. You're gonna have to swallow that anger when you don't feel like it. You're gonna have to swallow that anger. You have to swallow that lust. Oh, forgive us, Jesus, my God. There's no such thing as an angry Christian. It's like oil and water. There's no such thing as a cussing Christian. Either you're Christian or you're not. Hallelujah, God. Bless your name. My God. A righteous, mighty, wonderful God you are. Thank you for putting up with our foolishness, God. What if God was petty? What if God held grudges? Where would you be at right now? All of this instruction, all of this word, all of this word, and we're doing just the opposite. What if God was petty? Just like what parents used to, when they used to spank us when we were little, and they say, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you not to do such and such? Or why didn't you do such and such? What if God was to say that about this? Didn't I tell you not to? It's right there. You got a book of instructions right here. The word of God tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word, the pure milk. We should desire reading this word, getting stronger every day. A prayer life or reading this word of God. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. You can read one chapter a day. One chapter a day for a month. There's no excuse for not reading this word. You ain't got to read the whole book. Read a chapter. Read a half a chapter. Read a few verses, but read something meaningful. Read something. They got stuff you can pop up on your phone that'll give you daily inspirations every day. Daily. My pastor sends stuff out 7 days a week. She sends stuff out. And all it is just a woman or a man about a minute and 20 seconds, a minute and 30 seconds explaining something, a certain passage in the Word of God. That's all it is. It's a daily inspiration. You can get that yourself. You can put that on your phone. You got the Blessed app. You got the Bible app. It's all kinds of stuff out there. Bible quizzes, all kinds of things to help you sharpen your mind. It's all kinds of stuff out there. It's no excuse not to be in your Word every day. Hey, Bishop Patrick, God bless you, mighty man of God from Christ Church. Amen. Awesome man of God. Him and his lovely wife. Amen. Awesome church. Awesome ministry, Bishop Patrick. There's no excuse. Joe Glenn, what's going on, Mr. Glenn? How are you? Thank you for tuning in, sir. No excuse not to be in your Word every day. How about your prayer life? Are you praying to God daily? And when you do pray, it's not just about you and your family. Not about you and yours. It's about others. When you're praying, that's the perfect time to be unselfish and pray for somebody else's well-being or somebody else's healing. I'm quite sure we know somebody that's going through physically that needs your prayers for their healing. I know that you know somebody's probably catching a rough time with finances or whatever the case may be. Somebody may have a wayward child or whatnot. Somebody might be going through a rough spot in their marriage. It's plenty of stuff to pray for. This world, politics, with all this mess that's going on with our politicians. There's an election coming up this year. Lord knows we need to be praying for the right person to be in office. Hallelujah, God. For the right men and women to be elected to office that's coming up. These senators, these representatives. And not just nationally. You need to be praying for local stuff. Local representatives and local politicians. You got to pay attention to that stuff. It's more than just a presidential race. You got to pray for the right person to run your school board. You got to pray for the right people to run the county that you're living in. Or the city that you're living in. Hallelujah, God. That stuff is important. The right judges are being put in place. You don't want racist, prejudiced judges up there, regardless of the fact. Now, somebody who hates you for your skin color, naturally they can't say it, but they might be thinking it inwardly. They need to be gone, and they don't need to be elected to office. That's why you got to pray for things like that. It's so much stuff to pray for. So much stuff. The right person in charge at your job. Pray for that. Because you get the wrong person in charge can make your life miserable coming to work every day. You hate to come to work every day because of who's in charge. Pray. P-R-A-Y. Push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Hallelujah, God. Pray. God bless you, cousin. Mother Chappelle all the way from Washington, D.C. My cousin there. God bless the mighty woman of God. Pray. Have a prayer life. Prayer, if you don't believe, then don't pray. If you believe that prayer changes things, then pray. Hallelujah, God. We always say that what comes down when blessings come up, when prayers go up, blessings come down, what we say. I haven't heard that in a while. When praises go up, come on now. You got to believe that. You got to believe that. You got to believe that Jesus is a way maker, a miracle worker. Light in the darkness. Hallelujah, God. That's what my shirts say. Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. Hallelujah, God. My God, that is who you are. Praying is so important. That's why we got to put off lying. That's why we can't be angry. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, nor in your wrath. Going to bed mad and waking up mad. What good is that? You just go sleep angry. I guess you ain't got no armor of God on. Hallelujah, God. Hey, the pastor and bishop's nephew. What's going on, Markel? God bless you, man. How are you? And his mother, Sister Dale. Amen. Be angry, sin, not letting out the sun go down your mouth. Some people go to bed mad and wake up mad. It clearly says, do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So you just go let the devil win, huh? Because things ain't going your way. Things just ain't going your way, so you just go throw your hands on. You do like Marvin, just like Marvin Gaye, huh? Throw up both my hands. Huh? Y'all know that song, y'all old schoolers. Listen to that Marvin Gaye, throw up both my hands. Make you want to holler, throw up both my hands. Huh? So that's what you go do, huh? Just like the devil, huh? You go make you holler, throw up both your hands, just give up. My God. Don't give place to the devil. I had a lot of things going on in my life where I really, really could have just given up. Praying and praying and praying and praying for certain things to happen. It looked like certain things just wouldn't go change. But I'll just say God blessed. Because God is a great God. God is a good God. If anybody can tell somebody to hang in there, it's me. Hang on. God is on the way. God knows what you're going through. He sees what you're going through. He's with you. We do Psalm 23 about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah, God. Bless your holy name. God is with you every step of the way. It says his rod and his staff, they comfort me. My God. Psalm 23. Hallelujah, God. He's with you no matter what you're going through. He feels your pain. He knows your hurt. You got to pray to God. The woman with the issue of blood had an issue for 12 years. Can nobody fix it? She could have easily committed suicide. She could have killed herself. But she heard of a man named Jesus. And she said, if I could just reach out and touch. She didn't touch him on his shoulder. She didn't touch him on his face. She didn't even touch no part of his body. But just the just the end of the clothing, it says the hem of his garment. That's all she touched. She didn't even touch him personally. Just the clothing that was hanging off. At the bottom, she just reached out and touched. She said, if I touch him, I'll be made whole. My God, the faith that that woman had. Where's our faith? Who's that, James Cleveland? Where is your faith in God? Something like that. I think it's James Cleveland. Where's your faith? God can turn it around. He can turn it around. I can't turn it around for you. But God can. And we can pray together. Your faith, but you got to believe, because I believe, I know what God can do. But you got to believe. Your child does not have to keep getting kicked out of school and making bad grades. Your child can come out of jail. Your child does not have to keep going on the wrong path, hanging with the wrong crowd. Prayer changes things. You yourself, you don't have to keep putting that needle in your arm. You don't have to keep sniffing that cocaine. It's the reason why I'm saying this, my God. You don't have to do that. That ain't making nothing no better. It's not. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. I just said a few minutes ago. He's a liar and the father of it. Jesus is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. My God, this thing is serious. You don't have to keep picking up that liquor bottle. I put it down. It's about to destroy my liver. And God stepped in. And I'm glad he did. Because I don't miss it. I get tempted just like everybody else. Think I don't? Think flesh don't want to pick up a bottle of liquor from time to time? All the liquor I used to drink? Think flesh don't want to go out there and chase no women? All the women I used to chase? But I keep my flesh under subjection. God, nothing that I did. God is the reason. And I give God the glory. Because he is a healer. He's a way maker. And he's a miracle worker. And I thank God Almighty. And you should thank him too. So it's time to stop sleeping spiritually. Start to praise God. Pray when you get up in the morning. Pray in the afternoon. Pray when you go to bed at night. Pray, pray, pray. And keep praying. And keep believing. Hallelujah, God. Find yourself a good church with good leaders. Find yourself a building with some good leaders in it. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God for my leaders. They'll fuss when they need to fuss. And they pat you on the back when you deserve to get patted on the back. Those are the type of leaders that you need. Hard but fair. That's all you can ask for. Hard but fair. You think that my pastor may never got on me about nothing? Hallelujah, God. I thank God for him. I could have been left and go where? There's other churches out there, but I would stay right where I'm at until God say move. You get good leaders, you support them, you pray for them, that God will keep them and cover them and strengthen them every day. Hallelujah, God. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this Bible study on tonight. I thank you for all those that tuned in. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this was a help and not a hinder. I pray that all those that were on the line tonight, that was on Facebook Live tonight, that I helped them, that I improved them through your word, God. I did what you wanted me to do. I pray that those that will be seeing this on tomorrow and the next day or the day after will get something out of it. We're praying for the lost right now. We're praying that the lost be found. We're praying that somebody will accept you as their Lord and Savior. We're praying, Lord, for the Spirit-led folks, the Christians, Heavenly Father, to stay strong, to repent, to keep moving forward, to keep praising, to keep magnifying, to keep lifting you up. Continue to order their steps, God. Bless each and every one that was on the line tonight that took time out of their Wednesday to listen. Thank God for those that tuned in, classmates, co-workers, family members, church members. God bless them all, Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, that you will use them for your glory. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory because you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I pray if there is, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you for those kind words that you all are saying on tonight. Amen. If you need a church home in Columbia, 2208 East Boundary Road, that runs off of Percival Road, or you can get it off of Far Away Drive off of Decker Boulevard. We're in that area right there, not too far from Richland Northeast High School. If you're in Newberry, South Carolina, there's a church called Faith Deliverance. So if you're up in the up part, Chapin and beyond, places up there, 2615 John Stone Street at Faith Deliverance. They services at 2 o'clock every day. We start at 10:45. We're not going to keep you long. Amen. We're not going to do that. We know there's football to be watched when it's football season. But we do start at 10:45. You'll be home in time for the kickoff. Amen. I thank God for the mighty pastor of God, Pastor Tonetta Robinson, Bishop John Willie Robinson Jr., my favorite minister down there, Minister Joshua Robinson, the baddest organ player in all the state of South Carolina, this side of the Mississippi. Amen. Our deaconesses, amen, Deaconess Erica, Deaconess Melanie, our songbird Lolita, she have a CD with a song coming out near you shortly. Amen, Sister Lolita Goodman. Awesome, awesome praise and worship leader. Amen. She can have church all by herself. She can sing that good. Amen. Newberry, amen. You got two mighty, mighty ministers up there under the leadership of Bishop Rob Robinson, Minister T and Minister C, Taronda and Shannon Coleman. Awesome man and woman of God. Amen. The deaconess up there, mayors, all of the people in Newberry, God bless them at Faith Deliverance. God bless each and every last one of you. If you need prayer, y'all know y'all can always hit me up. Hit me up on Messenger. Call me, whatever the case may be, and we can tell God all about it. Or if you need somebody to pray for something, I'll pray for you. Amen. I'm going to let you go ahead and enjoy your Wednesday evening. I'm working this weekend. I'm on call. I might not be able to make it to church service Sunday, but nevertheless, God is great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, classmate Tyra Miller. Amen. Mighty woman of God. God bless you. Amen. Thank you for tuning in so much. Amen. God bless each and every last one of you. I love you, but God loves you more. Pray for us, and I'll pray for you, and have a good night. God bless.